NLRB backs the IAM against Boeing, principle or politics? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Vincent Vernuccio, who is the Labor Policy Counsel for the Competitive Enterprise Institute. I'll have to confess that I wasn't really too aware of this organization before the middle of last week when the Boeing NLRB story hit. Vincent's been quoted quite a number of places in the media since, and we wanted to get him on today to kind of talk about the details of this story, in which the National Labor Relations Board left some jaws hanging last week when it ruled that Boeing, by opening a plant in South Carolina for a second 787 Dreamliner assembly line, was being illegally coercive toward its employees in Puget Sound. Vince, thanks for taking some time out to talk to our listeners today.
Well, hey, Paul, thank you for having me.
Let me start by getting a little background on the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Tell us how the group was formed and what it represents today.
Okay, we were formed by Fred Smith in the early 80s, and we are a free market think tank out of Washington, D.C., and I am in charge. I'm Labor Policy Counsel in charge of the Labor Project. I run a website called workplacechoice.org. That's workplacechoice.org. And what the website does is it's a compendium of all the labor news around the web, and we also monitor both state and federal what we're calling pro-worker legislation. That's legislation that affects workers, that puts all workers on a level playing field and doesn't give the union special privileges that we were seeing for the last couple of years under the Obama administration and the Democrats in Congress.
All right, so your jaw had to be hanging more than most last week when this came down. Seeing this kind of action from the National Labor Relations Board is a little, it's a little like the first time you hear your mother cuss. Up until now, NLRB was the grown-up in the room. This completely changes that body's role for me in the labor relations process.
Oh, absolutely. Well, the one thing I disagree is I don't think they've been the grown-up in the room for some years now. Remember, President Obama nominated Craig Becker to the board shortly after taking office. And Craig Becker was so controversial that he could not even be confirmed by the Senate, even with a super Democratic majority. So Obama had to actually recess appoint him, going around the Democratic process to get him in. And the man that instigated this complaint against Boeing, called Leif Solomon, who is the general counsel, also was too controversial to be put through the Senate. So he was also recess appointed. It's this ongoing thing with these regulatory agencies where Obama has his cronies go in, and they are so far to the left and so far out of the mainstream and beholden to the special interest that they can't get an up or down vote in the Senate because they're too controversial. And Obama just institutes them anyway. So, I mean, these are people that are not even confirmed. The American people have not even had a chance to speak through their elected representatives on these guys, and they're doing things like telling a company where it can and can't locate within the United States. It is absolutely ridiculous.
Vinny, we've seen kind of a pattern develop here with the FAA's relationship with the National Air Traffic Controllers Association when Randy Babbitt came in. We've also seen one that was almost as big a shock to me as this one when John Pistole was confirmed and then immediately moved to get employees of the Transportation Safety Administration collective bargaining rights, which were kind of part of the deal that there would not be when TSA was created. So how blatant and open can this get? I mean, this seems like the third escalation in that trend.
Well, this administration has not even tried to hide the fact that they are completely beholden to organized labor. Remember, organized labor is one of their key funders. They spent millions getting Barack Obama elected, and they were the largest outside funder of the last, largest outside independent contributor of the last campaign cycle for the Democrats in Congress. It is absolutely transparent that they are trying to give payback after payback to the special interest, and they're doing it at the cost of workers and business. Remember, you know, there is business interest, there is union interest, and there is workers' interest. And that worker interest is not always in line with what's best for the union. But in the end of the day, it's the union that fights to aggrandize and continue their own power. And as we're seeing right now, they're doing it at the expense of workers in South Carolina with what's going on with the Boeing deal.
Vinny, when we get back from the break, let's get into the legal theory at play here. More with Vinny Vernuccio of the Competitive Enterprise Institute in a moment. I'm Paul Plack. You are listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Piperjet.
Piper Match.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher-performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking with Vinny Vernuccio of the Competitive Enterprise Institute about the National Labor Relations Board and its apparently politically driven backing of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers against Boeing's new South Carolina plant and the workers employed there. Vinny, let's go into the nuts and bolts of the legal premise behind this claim. Unions, when you move from bargaining for your own individual pay and benefits to moving into a collective bargaining situation in which everyone walking off the job at the same time is the stick, you've already moved into an environment where coercion is employed on the union side. And yet we hear this word coercion as a no-no on the company side. How are they claiming that this was coercive to employees when it does not involve the laying off or changing of pay or benefits of anybody in Puget Sound?
Well, it doesn't. And this is tenuous at best, and there is really no legal precedent for what Leif Salomon and the NLRB is trying to do right now. Essentially, there's a thing called TIPS, and this is involved with an employer. It's basically a legal infringement on employer speech during a union organization campaign. For instance, a union can basically promise a worker the moon to get them to join a union. But as soon as there's a collective bargaining negotiation, an employer is boxed in on what he can and can't say to a worker. For instance, there's a thing called TIPS. An employer cannot threaten, interrogate, make promises, or surveil employees that are trying to unionize. So an employer, if I was a company and you were trying to unionize me and you were a worker, I couldn't say, hey, Paul, listen, you unionize, I'm going to give you a – if you do not unionize, I'm going to give you a big raise. Consequently, I also couldn't say, hey, Paul, you know, if you try to unionize me, I'm going to cut your salary or I'm going to move out of state. That's illegal. Now, the threat or the promise is illegal, but the action is not. The fact that you unionize and I go, okay, well, you know what? And like in the case of Boeing, I can't afford a $2 billion work loss if you guys go on strike, so I'm going to take myself to a right-to-work state. The fact that you actually move is not illegal. And that's what the NLRB is trying to say. It's not the threat that they're arguing is illegal. It's the actual move. And there is no legal precedent to say that by saying, all right, the working conditions here for a business are too out of whack and it's too risky for us to continue employment here, or in Boeing's case, start a new assembly line here, so we're going out of state. It is absolutely, no pun intended, out of left field what Leif Salomon and the NLRB is trying to pull here.
Okay, if I can play devil's advocate here for a moment, a lot of Boeing's statements, public statements to the media and to Chamber of Commerce luncheons and things like that have tied the two together. Is that going to be a problem in defending this for Boeing?
Right. Well, what the board and the union are hanging their hat on is a Boeing executive that said, well, what do you want us to do? Keep it here. We can't afford another strike like the last one, so we're going to have to leave. That was done after the negotiations were over. So that's what they're trying to incorporate. But once again, it was not threatening the employees. It was literally simply stating a fact that we cannot afford another $2 billion strike. Because remember, a couple years back when IAM struck, it cost Boeing almost $2 billion during the negotiation and the lockout. So they said simply, we cannot afford that, so we're going to another state with a more friendly business climate. And that's where all of this came from.
Well, Vinny, tell us how this will play out in the courts, because in this day and age, I'm not real comfortable with a lack of bias in the court system either. What will be the path this complaint follows, and what will the impact be on Boeing in initiating operations in South Carolina, which they seem to be on the verge of?
Well, Paul, I tell you, if it was in a normal court, I would feel a little bit better than where it's going right now. It's going before an administrative judge in, dun-dun-dun, the NLRB. So it's actually an NLRB judge that is going to decide in the case brought by the NLRB general counsel. Seems a little incestuous, doesn't it?
Well, it sounds like, so if nothing else, it's a situation ripe for appeal. Is there an appeal beyond that?
There is, but it's very difficult to get one of these employment cases out of the NLRB into what's known as the Article 3 court. An Article 3 court, what do you think of? You get a speeding ticket, there's a criminal, or you sue somebody. Those are our Article 3 courts. It's, you know, it's the legislative branch, the executive branch, then you have the judicial branch. The judicial branch is separate. However, the NLRB is under the executive branch. So it's not exactly this neutral court that everyone else thinks of, a separate branch of government. And it's very difficult to get it out of that executive branch court into that independent judicial branch.
Everybody I've been reading who's commented on this says we're going to end up with a very different country if this thing stands as precedent. If it's hard to get it into an Article 3 court, where does it go from here? And I mean, obviously, if anybody has the will and the means to take it on appeal as far as it'll go, Boeing does.
All right, well, I hope that it'll eventually wind up in the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court will slap this down. And what we really need to do is we need to take these unelected bureaucrats, get them back to the function they're supposed to be doing, which is independent arbiters of these type of situations, and stop them from being nothing more than union lack.
Okay, odds on that?
In this administration, I'd say slim to none.
Is there any role for Congress to get involved in this?
Well, we're already seeing congressmen coming out of the woodwork condemning this action, and they're going to probably start with oversight, and we have to see what happens with the funding for the National Labor Relations Board. Within the last continuing resolution, there was a line item proposed to completely defund the NLRB. That obviously was an extreme action, was viewed as an extreme action by many, and failed. But hopefully what this will do is this will bring more congressional oversight to what's going on at the board and hopefully bring some changes.
Well, Vinny, we appreciate your insight and background on this case, and it's going to be very interesting, especially from within the aviation and aerospace manufacturing community, because I think a whole lot of people in both company boardrooms and right-to-work states are holding their breath right now.
That's right, and hopefully this will go to the Article 3 courts. It'll be in the independent judicial branch, and we'll do the right thing.
All right. Well, Vinny, if someone wants more information on the Competitive Enterprise Institute, what's the best place to go?
For CEI, it's CEI.org, and for labor issues, all labor issues on the web, it's workplacechoice.org. That's workplacechoice, all one word, .org.
Vinny, thanks for spending some time with us today.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Vincent Fernuccio is the Labor Policy Counsel for the Competitive Enterprise Institute. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.